you're a great person, a great leader. In the past, you've been super successful, but at the moment, your efforts are not returning any kind of reward.
She can earn more, but they can serve better. And so you don't actually need to have more team or even more clients.
What I'm starting to notice is that for those that are in decline or stagnating, the mistake that they're often making is...
Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Today we're going to cover the one queen move to get you out of stagnation or decline and get you back into momentum. Joel, thanks for joining me.
Oh, great to be here. Awesome, Riz.
So yesterday you were in Auckland.
I was.
What were you doing there?
I had a great time in Auckland, actually. I was working with some salon owners from around the country. And I remember actually just in the pre-chat with you, we were, before the event started, there's a whole bunch of salon owners rolling into the room, as you do when you go to these conferences. And naturally, I'd go up to them and introduce myself, kind of want to break the ice before we actually get started and say, how's it going? You know, how's business? And I would have talked to probably a couple of dozen people over half an hour. And I got responses like, good. And yeah, holding on. Riding the wave was one that I heard a lot of. And I guess the way that I would describe how almost everyone in the room occurred to me, Riz, was like they're at the effect of all of the circumstances that make up what we might call the world at the moment. And I must say, as someone like you that works with salon owners every single day and helps them to become and step up and move forward, it was really, really hard to actually listen to a lot of that. So that's what I was up to in Auckland.
Not just listening to them, but helping them, I hope.
Yeah, we got to the helping. We got to the helping.
Yeah, I certainly... I'm experiencing that same conversation. I know we spoke recently about VUCA.
Yes.
Not Veruca.
Yes.
Just for clarity.
Yes.
But that there is a lot of the industry experiencing flatlining.
Yep.
And kind of holding on and gripping tightly to not going backwards.
Yeah.
And I feel like lots of people are on the sort of precipice of making some kind of decision, like, do I hang in there?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the energy to keep growing?
Mm.
But also there's this really widening gap of those that are, you know, facing decline or hanging on by the skin of their teeth. I don't know where that saying came from.
Mm.
It's a weird one.
It's a weird one.
They're hanging in there. But then there's this really massive gap between those that are just like completely thriving, growing, but are also stuck.
Yeah.
Smashing it. They're smashing it, but it doesn't matter how much you're growing and how big you get, you still hit the ceiling.
Yes.
And you can get stuck for whatever reason, mm-hmm. run out of space, you run out of team. I kind of want to talk about that. Like, how do we get out of stuck, whether it's because we're in decline or facing decline or the carpet's shifted out from under us.
Yes.
At the effect of the world.
Absolutely.
Or whether it is at the effect of growth.
Yes.
You still get stuck.
Yep. You still get stuck. And we have talked about many times in the past, Riz, that if you're in decline from a business perspective, that's like really, really stressful, right? Like it's like, oh, I can't sleep at night. The emotions are really, really negative. And I think for a lot of the owners that I spoke to in that room in Auckland, it's like they're in stagnation, right? Like a little bit backwards, a little bit forwards, a little bit here and there and here and there. And that's also stressful too, because you're a great person, a great leader. In the past, you've been super successful, but at the moment, your efforts are not returning any kind of reward. So that's stressful. But also, as you spoke to, growth is stressful as well. So decline, stagnation, or growth, it all has an element of stress that comes with it. And I think what I'm starting to notice is that for those that are in decline or stagnating, the mistake that they're often making is they're waiting for the world to change. Like maybe just after COVID, once things got really, really good again, you kind of like settled your staff, you settled your model, you settled your systems, and it was like, this is it. And now the world's changed again. And it's
again.
And it's like, okay, I had everything in place. So when the world comes back to how it was before, I'll be good again. And I think that's a mistake because it's not going to change back to how it was. It's just changing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, it's a good mental frame to remind ourselves of, because we can adapt and we can facilitate change within ourselves and we can become who we need to deal with the circumstances around us.
And I think this is not just for businesses that were already struggling. Like, there's a big format, big successful multi-site businesses that you can still hit stagnation. You can still hit a ceiling and be stuck and flatline. And I always believe there's no such thing as flatline, because you're either moving up or you're moving down. Like, yes. No staying still.
Growing or dying, just like nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we going to do about it, Riss?
Well, I kind of think, you know, at some point we have to get our big girl pants on and be really brave to make what I would call nothing less than a queen move.
Ooh, love a queen move.
Love a queen move. We like to have queen moves sometimes. And what we can fall victim to is feeling like if we just move another pawn. Now, if you're with me, do you play chess? Not really sure. But, you know, the pawn moves, like little moves, there's lots of pawns and you can move them around the board one move at a time, and you can have a lot of pawns on the move everywhere.
Mm.
It's a bit like having too many cans open. Yes. But we're looking for the magic bullet. Like, if I just moved my roster one more time, or if I just got one more stylist, or if I just found the one promotion.
Little things that are not actually adding up to any kind of real difference making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at some point we actually have to go, I actually need to make a queen move. I need to make a big move that's actually going to be a game changer. Because if we keep doing the same things that we always did, we're just going to get what we always got. And so at some point, you know, and we're seeing this, some people are choosing to, like, just lumps are going to sell and get the heck out.
Yep.
Like, I think at the end of last year and the beginning of this year is probably the most closures I've ever seen, even through COVID and all the things. But I think the queen move now is like, how do we actually shift our whole business model into something that's going to be not only modern for 25 and 26, but it's going to take us through 2030 and beyond?
Yeah.
Do you know? So you can grow and expand, be profitable. Because let's face it, in the last 5 years, clients have changed their expectation, but most importantly, their behavior and the way that they want to engage with us. Our team expect us to, I'm going to say, serve them differently, care for them differently. They demand more. They behave differently. So we can't expect to just turn up and be the same leaders that we've been over the last 5 years, or even actually, if you've been in business for a long time, the last 20 years, do you know?
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it's easy for us to get stuck in yesteryear's methods or thinking, because we can see the shift, but somehow we keep looking externally and going, well, to your point, when is it going to change back? But actually it's not. We actually have to change ourselves to keep up with the shift.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a critical point. Like, so many of us out there have got wisdom that will carry us through the rest of our life. But when it comes to business, and specifically how you interact with the marketplace, the consumers, the clients, their behavior, and your team members and their evolving cultural needs, income needs, well-being needs, like, you need to be smarter than to be that fixed person that you can otherwise be in other areas of your life. You've got to be adaptive. You've got to elevate. It's so, so important.
Even financially, you know, the world is different financially. That is shifting the ground again.
Yes.
So we need to adapt. I think we've got to do something that gets us into momentum, gets us out of stuck. And I spoke with one of my favorite owners just 2 weeks ago, actually. I'm going to call her Chloe, because remember we always used to talk about Jemima?
We can't use Jemima anymore.
So Jemima has become an actual, she's become our AI coach inside of My Salon CEO. She actually is a, I was going to say she's actually.
She's part of the team.
She's part of the team. She's actually part of the team. We have Lexi. She's also part of our team. She's also an AI. She helps us in our business. But Jemima helps our owners inside of My Salon CEO. And so she's kind of become an actual team member. So we can't use her anymore.
We can't.
Who, like, are we going to choose now?
I'm talking to owners and they're like, so I was talking to Jemima. Like, they're talking to Jemima.
Jemima.
So Jemima can't be the hypothetical person that we use on the podcast.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community and other $1 million-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode.
So should we create a new one?
We need to create a new one. We need a name.
All right, so I think the hypothetical team member, or hang on, is it a team member or an owner?
Nah, it's an owner.
Okay.
Yeah, because an owner.
Let's go hypothetical owner. I'm going to call her Chloe.
Chloe's good.
Oh, hang on, shouldn't we have Harper?
Let's go with Chloe today, okay. And we'll talk about Harper later.
Watch this face.
Watch this face. Chloe.
Okay, so Chloe, I was speaking to Chloe the other day.
Yes.
And she had a really good problem.
Yeah.
She was stuck, no longer growing, and her entire team are fully booked. Like, she's got a reasonably large team, 10 income generating people.
Mm.
We've worked together probably 5 or 6 years now. And but the other problem is that not only have a team fully booked, and they're booked 4, 5, and 6 months in advance, which
Boom.
Is lovely, like it's a good problem.
Yep.
But, you know, the team can't take time off. If somebody is sick, it's a nightmare. Like, yep. It's really hard to reschedule the clients. And like, it's actually a bit of a pain. Mm. And then on top of that, they're physically out of space. Like, they're full. All the chairs are used. And so she was like, oh, I'm just going to change my roster, Larissa. I was like, hang on a minute. And so we looked at her CEO dash, we looked at her profitability, and actually, given how busy they are and how booked she is into it in advance and how locked she is into her business as a business owner,
mm-hmm.
like, Chloe's struggling to take some time off. She's doing all of the things. So I was like, hang on, let's just do a proper review here. And she really wasn't profitable enough for the effort. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're going to have a full-on business, you want to be rewarded.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, this is not a charity. Anyway, we discovered that actually, given her local marketplace, she's actually only charging mid pricing. Mm-hmm. But she is doing something. If you're booked that far in advance, you're doing something. You are delivering top service.
Top service, 100%.
You know, at the top 80, 90% of the marketplace.
So there's a mismatch between what she's delivering and the price point that she's charging.
Correct. And that's happened over time as they've got better and improved their services. And she does have tiered pricing, and she has put her prices up regularly, but what she's missed is that the market has moved and she hasn't.
Mm.
And so we have started installing the lean and luxury salon system where she can actually do less, she can earn more, but they can serve better. And so you don't actually need to have more team or even more clients. We can work with what you've already got, because potentially we can afford to lose a few clients because she's elevating at such a rapid pace.
Yes.
And she's got clear career pathways for her team, but she's tapped it out. She's at the top. She's got too many people at the top. So this is a good problem. And so she needs to create more future than she's already got, but she also needs to create future for the clients.
Yes.
Like, she actually needs to create a longer journey client, because not just like team members, clients are all not created equal either.
Yes.
They need a journey pathway. I was going to say a career pathway. That's not quite right.
Yeah, but a journey pathway.
They need a journey pathway.
Yeah, they need a journey, yeah.
And she needs to put her prices up a lot at the top because she's got high demand at the top.
Mm.
And her team, her high demand team, they don't need to work Saturdays anymore. They're booked for 6 months in advance. They can work Monday to Thursday and let all the newbies come and work Wednesday to Saturday and when all the new clients want to come.
Nice.
She desperately needs to install the sales desk. Like, she needs to make that front of house business work for her.
The sales desk.
The sales desk.
Love it.
Like, you need to, if you're going to have someone at front desk, they need to be an income generating role and return three times their wage just like any other team member.
So good. Love it.
And she actually, like, needs to get off the floor so she can grow her team.
Yeah.
So years ago, Joel, we did this, some research. We have access to all of the salon data through my salon CEO, what performances, how many people, how many hours, yes, owners are working on the floor. And I'm going to give you the short version of the long story.
Yeah.
But for those owners that are 40 plus hours on the floor, the average business revenue for those owners is $300K a year. So all the team members are, and including the owner, are on the floor, average business $300K a year. But for those owners that are off the floor, 100% off, serving no clients, just growing the business, their average business revenue is anywhere between 700 to a million. So that means that some are doing 3 million and some are doing slightly less.
Yeah.
And most of those people that are doing less than a million but 100% off the floor, they're off the floor because they've got babies, not because, you know, they're working on the business.
Yes.
So that's why that number's down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you?
Leverage. Yeah, and you'd almost expect that the way that you were describing, like, it's going to be slightly better, but you get the benefit and upshot of being off the floor. But actually, it's over double, like, just at a, as a rolling average.
Correct.
And so it really says to me that, like, gosh, if I'm on the floor at the moment and I have a similar problem to Chloe, I really need to think about making a queen move like you're describing.
Yeah, and that queen move is like, you've got to do, the business model has to shift, and you can be lean and still stay in the luxury bracket. Do you know, like, you don't have to drop your service, you just got to make a queen move, and you've got to be available to do that. And I think creating space for yourself to step into that CEO role so you can invest in the machine, like, you need to make the machine work.
Yes.
By the way, the machine, the engine is the people.
Yeah.
You know, like, a car has an engine, like a salon has the people. That's what makes the business work. You need to invest in that.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So, assuming that we've made a queen move, we've got a whole bunch of. We've done the things. And we've got clarity now about how to move forward. And we've started to do the things. Then the next thing that we need to focus on is actually that, is we've got to focus. And isn't life so distracting?
I was just going to say that. Distracting.
Like, honestly, like, I don't know. But, you know, you see it in the bus stops. You see it when you're walking in the supermarkets. You see it when you're walking on the streets. You see it when people are driving their cars. Like, if we experience any kind of boredom whatsoever, there's always something pretty close to us called our phones to pull our attention away. And I've got to say that in the last 25 years in business, the number one tool in my belt is my ability to focus my attention. And when I have done that consistently over dozens of minutes or even hours, and sometimes it's just dozens of minutes, it's not even hours, I produce things that I'm super proud of. And when I piss around, faff around, and do all the things and check the emails and go make a coffee and check that thing and respond to that thing and just that, I get similar results. Like, it's just a little bit spread out. And so I think the one thing that I want to bring up here is that once you have clarity, you're going to get a bit of a dopamine hit. Like, oh, I know what to do now.
The one thing.
Yeah.
So you've got, what is the one queen move?
What is the one queen move? It's like, oh, it feels really good. And you've got to get onto that straight away. So we talk about the acronym of focus being follow one commitment until successful. That's the beginning of each letter of each of those words is what it means to focus. And I reckon that you know, the horses that wear the blinkers,
yes,
just like that, like, I didn't realize this, but the reason that they do that is because it helps to distract them from the peripheral activity of the other horses, the mud that's flying up, the legs that are going around, the jockeys that are whipping, and that allows them to focus on that one course of action, that one commitment, which is to win the race as fast as possible. You know, and so I think that becomes really, really important that we really take stock and focus our attention. I think as the world evolves and changes, there's no doubt about it in my mind that your ability to focus your attention for a few dozen minutes will be the difference between you really stepping into salon CEO and you pittering out at an operator that could have been. Yeah. And that's not nice, but it's happening. 447 salons closed in the end of 2024 in those 12 months. So nearly 500 salons. So it's like it's happening. And that information should be used to be like, okay, cool, it's happening. So what am I now going to do about it? And so I think put the blinkers on, get super focused. And in particular, when I say focus, it's you got a calendar block.
Agree.
You're a bit of a calendar block fan, Riss.
Totally.
Yeah.
I live by my calendar. If somebody wants something from me, put it in my calendar.
Yes.
Can I just say, I want to talk about calendar blocking, but can I just say focus one commitment until successful. Follow one commitment until you've tried it once and then it didn't work and go back and try something else.
Yeah.
It's not that.
It's totally not that. Yeah.
Like there's a bit of stickability and tenacity in, because it's not follow one commitment. It's until successful. Like you keep going and you keep trying until you find the formula.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
or you just go and buy the formula.
100%. Like, what are you going into bat for? You're like, let's just say you want to, you want it to be worth it. Like, you've got to raise your prices. Like, you've got to do. Like, until you're successful at that point, like that, you keep iterating, you keep going, you keep working. And that's what it means to focus. That's what it really means.
And so getting it done is you've got to have it in your calendar. Like your book is your bank for sure.
Mm.
Because if you go and look at your calendar and go, where do I spend my time? That is going to tell you the outcome that you're experiencing.
Mm.
And so if you're not getting the outcome that you want to experience and you need to go back into your calendar and go, well, I need to spend the majority of my time on the thing that's going to give me the outcome.
Yes.
Because too often I do an audit with people and they're spending their time on things that are like not pointed in the direction of the outcome.
Yes. So one of my favorite things to do when I work with our owners is we get, just like we talked about, like really clear about the queen move, like next 6 weeks, like what's the queen move? Or if it's at the beginning of the year with boardroom and we do our 12-month strategic plan, like the clarity's there. I know exactly what I want to do. And it's like, cool, awesome. Let's do a quick time audit, like pretty quick, like life, things, all of the tennis, whatever dates, all of that in. And it's like, how much time do you actually have left to work on your business? Mm-hmm. And then the number presents itself, 3 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours. And it's like, great, put that into your calendar. Like, where are you energetically at your best to grow your business in your week? Move the other stuff around, please. It needs to go where it needs to go. If it's 3 2-hour blocks, boom, lock it in. And that's when you do the work.
Say no more. That was like the punchline, Joel.
Focus.
So if you need some help with focus, if you need help uncovering like what is the queen move given your circumstance, like what is your queen move, well, you know where to find me. You can reach out, DM me in the show notes of this episode. You're very welcome to book a call. Let's have a bit of a strategic plan. I've got some questions for you to pull out. What are the roadblocks that you're experiencing? And let's put a strategic plan together and let's see if we can help. Hey, thanks, Joel. Appreciate you.
Great to be here.